Who knows more about Munster rugby, me or you, Quinny?
Everyone has an opinion, don't they? Some of the opinions are waffle, but I'd like to think I know a lot.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
The Club Championship Show on OTB Sports in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag the toughest.
You are very welcome along to the first edition of the Club Championship Show here on OTB with thanks to AIB. Over the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to be looking at what's been another magic weekend for Loughmore Castellini as they completed a double in Tipperary, the second time they've done so after their history-making sides of 2013. They completed a double with 2 1-point wins. It was pretty heart-stopping stuff at Semple Stadium last weekend as they overcame Thurles Sarsfields. We'll be talking to Brian McGrath in a few minutes' time about that as they prepare to head into, I think it's a 17th week in a row, where they've been playing club games this year. We'll also be taking a look back at the rest of the action from last weekend, including a historic one for Clock Ballacolla, the Leash champions, winning their first ever game in the Leinster Club Senior Championship when they saw off Rapparee. Some of their players have got decisions to make, including their star forward Willie Dunphy, who may well have to decide whether he goes on honeymoon or if he's able to play in the rest of the championship. We'll be looking forward to all of the games this weekend, including Kilcoo beginning the defence of their Ulster title with Cathal O'Kane. We'll look to the west to the games in the Connacht Senior Football Championship, and we will look forward to two county finals. We've got the Galway Hurling and the Kerry Football this weekend. With a host of football and a man who went to watch a hurling game last weekend as Bally Gunner took Ballyea out in the Munster Club Championship, the Football Pod's Tommy Rooney is here with me. Tommy, how are you getting on?
Morning, Will. Thanks a million for having me on the Club Championship podcast. Yeah, we kind of get lost in the intercounty game on the Football Pod, but I'm delighted to be here because we all know that the real stories are in Club GA. And yeah, I felt like a bit of a fraud at the hurling at the weekend. I'll have to be honest, I didn't know which way the ball was going, a different Amity mess, and it wasn't that bad. But it was unbelievable watching Ballygunner in action. They were up against Ballyea. I know we're going to get stuck into that in a couple of minutes, but my God, Will, like a team that's gone 8 weeks without a game, to be able to set that intensity was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, look, it was an incredible performance. That kind of scoring in November is crazy, especially when they only put 56% of the shots they had on goal over. Had Ballygunner maybe had their shooting a bit more in gear, they could have run up a bigger score. Look, I know playing Ballyea without Tony Kelly is a bit like Superman without his cape, but still a very, very impressive performance. Ballygunner are going to be one of the teams to try and stop, not just in the Munster Club Championship, but in the All-Ireland Championship. Our focus, though, Tommy, is beginning with Munster. I'm going to bring us back to Semple Stadium in a moment, but like, what an achievement before we bring Brian McGrath for Loughmore Castellini. Like, 2013 was seen as absolute groundbreaking stuff in such a difficult dual county to win both titles in the 1 year. They nearly did so again last year, but lost both finals narrowly, and now have come back to do the double again in 2021. For two villages to be able to achieve that is some going, Tommy.
Oh, it's absolutely remarkable. I'm from a small parish myself, actually half a parish, and we've often thought what would happen if they were joined up together, but like, my God, like what a club like Mullernacht did in the football in Leinster a couple of years ago, and what Loughmore Castellini have achieved over the last couple of years especially is just unbelievable. I'm really looking forward to getting Brian on and hearing how the body is after 17 weeks in a row. It's going to be 19 weeks in a row and hopefully more after that, so we'll see what happens. But it must just, the buzz, Will, in that camp, in that town, in that village must be unbelievable at the minute, going on a run like this. It just must be so much fun.
Yeah, we'll find out from Brian how much training they're actually doing in a moment, because I'd say with recovery, you probably just spend all week this week, just let it flow by, play a rogue in the football this weekend, and then think about the hurling the week after. Let's bring you back to the hurling then, because a couple of weeks ago, they won the Football Championship final against Clonmel Commercials. But here's what happened in a very dramatic finish to the Tipperary Senior Hurling Final replay. It was Thurles Sarsfields up against Loughmore Castellini. We take it up when John McGrath is just about to hit what proved to be the winning free, and the commentary is called by former All-Ireland winning manager Mick Ryan and also Stephen Gleeson on Tip FM.
We had fantastic performances last year, right throughout the season, and you know, to come up just a pick short, like, it gave us an awful lot of confidence for this year. Now, when we saw the schedule that was ahead of us, like, maybe we might have had a few little doubts, like, or whatever. But look, we built tremendous momentum there throughout the season, like, and you know, it's such a fantastic feeling to come in here into Semple Stadium, you know, almost week after week, like.
That's Frankie McGrath speaking after the game. We'll bring you the commentary in a few moments' time. But delighted to say that we have Brian McGrath, who scored the first goal for Loughmore Castellini in that replay with us. Brian, how are you getting on?
Well, how are you doing? Thanks very much for having me on.
Well, we heard Frankie talking there about last year and how, as a team, you had to stick together after the disappointments that were the 2020 deciders. It seems, though, that that kind of gelled the team together to come back and have another crack at trying to do a double again this year.
It did, I suppose, Will. The heartbreak after last year, looking back on it, the feeling after it was just, it was absolutely heartbreaking. And you're wondering, how could you go again? And all these thoughts are going through your mind. They're like, will I get another chance at doing this again? Will we get back to the final again? Will I ever get another county medal or whatever? But to come back then this year, I suppose there wasn't much talk in our camp about last year, to be honest. But I think it was in the back of all our minds leading into this year. And I suppose we just took it week by week then. We get the fixtures at the start of the year, so we have a fair idea of what our schedule will be. But if you say you'll be playing 16, 17 weeks in a row at the start of the year, that's dreamland stuff you're thinking of then. But the further you go on, the more real it comes, and you're saying, right, we could go this far. And but it's all about just taking it week by week then.
The scenes at full time, he probably showed exactly how much this meant to everybody within the two parishes, because you've grown men crying, you've got the relief, you see John's face after the free has gone over, and there's still that bit of drama where Thurles could potentially have come back and equalised right at the end of the game too, but you hold on for that 1 point win to complete the double. It just goes to show exactly how much it means, I would say, from a relief point of view, to have come through the last few weeks, because that's a lot of emotional highs to have to go through, from the football, turning around to playing a hurling final, like this big long road that you've been on. There must have been a great sense of relief when that full-time whistle went.
Yeah, like we were just saying after, you don't know how to feel after. Is it relief or is it joy or what? It's just, I actually don't know how I felt, but you're going through so many emotions. You go back to last year, you had the pure heartbreak, and then you come to this year and it's pure ecstasy. Like it's just unbelievable. I actually don't know how people felt, or as you say, grown men crying. You wouldn't see it anywhere else. It's just it just brings out the best in everybody, and it's unbelievable.
Tell us about your own goal, Brian, because it's a fairly crucial score in the second half. Like, you find yourself, you're 3 points down at halftime, having hit quite a few wides in the first half, but Thurles are in front. When you hit the back of the net, you go 3 points up at that stage. You found yourself in an attacking position. How did it come about?
To be honest, Will, I actually don't know. I suppose Darragh Stakelham was playing fairly deep a good lot of the game, and I was trying to, I didn't really know what to do sometimes, and he caught me out a good bit. So I said, I better follow him up the field, I suppose. And I suppose the ball broke in my favour. It broke in behind, and the only thing that was going through my mind was I just had to get it up first time, and whatever happened after that happened. But thankfully it rattled the back of the net.
As a neutral, like, it was a remarkable game to watch, because you guys obviously had goals in mind as the game was ticking into that last 15 minutes, and the Thurles goalkeeper made two remarkably good saves. You eventually get your second goal in with 10 minutes to go, but Thurles, Sarsfields and Stakelham, they keep coming back at you and they get the goal again and bring it right back to a point. Like, what's it like to play in a game like that where it just seemed completely manic in that last 10 minutes particularly?
Yeah, it's absolutely mayhem. Like, you can't lose your concentration for a second, or as you see, the ball will be in the back of the net at your end. But it's just mayhem. Like, Paddy McCormick pulled off some unreal saves there on Sunday, and I was thinking, how are we ever going to get a goal here? But thankfully, the lads stayed at it and they got it. Then it came down to our end, ball in the back of the net, and you're like, oh God. But you just have to stick at the process, and then thankfully the outcome was in our favour then at the end.
Like, Ryan, can you put it into context for us, for anyone who doesn't who's never been through Loughmore or Castellaney before, or who doesn't fully understand what it is, like how big a deal is it for yourselves even to do the double? Like you were pretty young back in 2013 when it was done for the first time in Tipperary history, I believe. And like looking at Wikipedia, you can see that Loughmore and Castellaney have 15 football championships in their history and only 4 hurling titles. So you might just explain to people who don't understand what it is.
Yeah, like when you come here to Loughmore, Castellaney, the GA is just a heartbeat of the parish. Anywhere you go, it's all about the matches. Everyone's talking about the matches. And just when you get on a roll like this, the joy it brings to the people here in the parish of Loughmore and Castellaney, it actually puts a smile on my face when you see the joy it brings to them. I suppose in 2013, I was only 15, so I was looking on, and I still remember, I was like, when I saw him doing it, I was like, God, I would love to get one of them medals someday. And thankfully, it has come this year. But no, what it means to the parish of Loughmore and Castellaney here is, I don't know, can you put it into words? Because everybody is just, anywhere you go, it's all about the GAA, claps on the backs, e-training tonight, when's the next match? It's just unbelievable. And the support you get from everyone, it's unreal. The good wishes, it's just, I don't know how to explain it.
Because what it means to a community as well, like I was listening to your brother Shane getting interviewed on the radio after the game on Sunday, and he was asked, like, how do you put it into context? Like, you've got 3 senior All-Ireland medals with Tipperary. Like, how could this ever rank by comparison? And he was saying that last Sunday was as meaningful, if not more meaningful to him, than anything he would have achieved in an inter-county jersey.
Yeah, like, I don't know, can you beat club? Can you? I don't think you can, because you're playing with lads you've grown up with all your lives, your best friends. You're playing for them. You're playing for the parish where you grow up, where you are every day. And it means the absolute world to us all.
Do you want to embarrass John here slightly before we bring Tommy back in about the achievement? This is picked up by Fintan O'Toole, the amount of scoring that John did during the championship this year, which is just remarkable. Like, he scores the goal against Clonmel Commercials, which decides that game. He scores the free last week, which decides the game against Thurles Sarsfields. And there you go, 7 goals and 72 scored across the 2 codes in this calendar year. That is just remarkable scoring. That's a star forward to have in both codes there, Brian.
Yeah, look, in fairness to John, he's a top class player, not just in the hurling and the football as well. Like, I think the 2 semi-final performances probably epitomise him. I think they were his 2 best performances I have ever seen him play, to be honest. I don't know, it's just, I'm absolutely delighted for him, to be honest. To have that caliber of a forward playing with us, it's just unreal. Like, and I suppose that wouldn't be possible without the lads around him as well. See, we've top class forwards there. Evan Sweeney came on, Kieran McCormick came on there on Sunday, and they made some impact there. And like, it can't happen without a team, without a panel, without a management, and then without a parish. Like, none of this can be possible.
One final question for you before I let you get back to your recovery. How do you keep going now for the next few weeks? Like, having had 17 weekends in the legs behind this, to go to Aeroge now this weekend to begin the football journey in the Munster Club, then you get Munster Club hurling the week afterwards as well. Like, I'm sure after doing a Tipperary double, the dream would be to do a Munster double, but what's going to keep you going now over the next few weeks?
I don't really know. I think we're still fresh. Like, I don't think anyone is tired. I don't think you'll hear anyone saying this on the 1st of December, but I actually can't wait to go train this evening.
That's
The buzz that is going to be at train this evening, it's going to be outrageous. Like, and I think
Are you training much?
Train once one hard session during the week, and then on a Friday we'll have a meeting or we'll have a light session.
And is it split 50-50?
Yeah, and we're playing football now this weekend, so it'll be football training tonight. We're playing hurling the weekend after, so we'll be training hurling next week. So, like, it keeps the thing fresh, like, interchanging between each codes. But as I said, I just can't wait to go training this evening now.
Just goes to show that you can be done. Brian, thanks a million for joining us on the show, and best of luck in the Munster Club Championship at the weekend.
Lads, thanks very much for having me.
There you go.
Cheers, Brian.
Just goes to show that the Dual Club can still continue on. Tommy, this year, like, we've had Nace do a double in Kildare. They're involved in the Leinster Intermediate Club Hurling Championship, and they're also playing football this weekend. You have Kilmacook Crokes, who've already started their Leinster journey with the hurling, with that 19-point win at the weekend against Raharney. Their footballers are out against Wolf Tones this weekend too. Like, it just goes to show, Tom, that it doesn't necessarily have to be one code over the other. That if you've got talented players and a good group within a club, there's no reason why they can't be aspirational in both Gaelic football and hurling at the same time.
Oh, absolutely, Will. I think that's... Geez, if we could have that in nearly every club, wouldn't it be absolutely amazing? Because what Brian McGrath, his Loughmore Castellani teammates, have had in 19 consecutive championship weekends is dream stuff. Like, to get to play a couple of championship games a year is incredible. It's a privilege. But to get to play 19 weekends in a row is just unbelievable. All anyone wants is games, to be honest. So, like, you can tell how happy he is there to be going from match to hard session to match every week. It's just unbelievable. Whether it can be done across the board, I don't know. Like, the amount of clubs that can do it across the country, I'm not sure how many there are. Like, a club like Cratlow and Clare would split it between the football and the hurling quite a bit. You're seeing Aero Og and Clare were close to doing a double this year as well. There's a couple of clubs in Clare. In Dublin, with Kilmacook Crokes, they're so big that there's only one player split between both panels. Whereas in Loughmore Castellani, you're seeing that there's 10 starters between the hurling and the football. So, like, in certain clubs it can be done, but I think it probably starts from coaching at the bottom. If it was to happen across the board, Will, it'd need a probably mindset change from the bottom up and from the top down, you know?
Yeah, look, certain clubs can do it. Look at Sloughneil winning football, Mogi, and yeah, just absolutely crazy the run that they've been on and the improvements that they've made in hurling in recent years. And Sloughneil have been very unlucky not to turn over one of the big guns in an All-Ireland semi-final, but it just goes to show how strong it can be within some clubs. Loughrea's to talk about
from.
It does depend an awful lot. It's almost by, you know, the grace of God which parish you're born into, to see what kind of talented players and a group of players you might have at the same time. Plenty of other stuff to chat about coming out of the last weekend. Again, we had huge drama in the Cork Senior Football Final. Finbar's winning their 10th crown. Stephen Sherlock's been like the big star. He got 7 points in all, including the match winning point. He has scored again, quite a remarkable total. We were talking about, you know, John McGrath just a few minutes ago. 3 goals and 41 points scored by Sherlock this season. He was dropped off the Cork panel last year. He was playing in 18 and 19. There's no doubt he's going to be in Ricken's plans for this year. He's finished as the top scorer in the championship. And if Finbar's have aspirations in Munster, they're going to be hoping that Stephen Sherlock is doing the scoring for them there too.
Yeah, the Bars are obviously a club with a smashing bit of history, and they will be pushing for Munster this year, 100%. I love hearing stories like Sherlock's in the winter, a fella ripping it up, or a footballer or hurler ripping it up at club level, and you know they're going to get a shot next year. It's exciting to hear it. He was obviously neck and neck with Brian Hurley before that epic semi-final win in terms of the scoring. He comes up trumps late on again, scoring the winner too. Like, so it's great to hear that, and hopefully we see him, you know, for Cork next year. They obviously have Kerry in the Munster semi-final, so hopefully we see that next year.
Yeah, new wave, and also two kind of well-populated areas in Clonakilty and Finbar's in that final. Now, in the Leinster Club Senior Hurling Championship, we had the first two of the quarterfinals weekend just gone by. As I mentioned already, Kilmacook Crokes looking for a double in Leinster this year, won very comfortably against Raharney in Mullingar on Sunday afternoon. 5 goals and 19 points to 15 points, the full-time score. Ronan Hayes, their hero in the Dublin final, where they had to scrape extra time and then won comfortably with the way they played in extra time. He got 2 goals, so did Alex Constantine. They did most of their damage in the second half. They only scored 2-8 in the first half, but blew Raharney away with a very strong spell, particularly just after half time. A very good win for them. Eddie Gibbons, their goalkeeper, also getting on the score sheet with a goal very late on. His late free dipped into the Raharney goal. Raharney were just so reliant on Westmeath forward Killian Doyle, they couldn't really get going, and those goals were a killer for them. The one thing that came out of this one, Tommy, was the fact that Kilmacud had to get changed in a tent, which they were clever enough to bring down. They had a sponsored tent, which they brought down to use at halftime, because in Westmeath, they made the decision about a month ago that they wouldn't be reopening the dressing rooms because of the fact they didn't want to discriminate against anyone based on their status with the vaccine. But it's been a real mess. In the middle of November, it was a wet, cold day last Sunday, to have the team still out in the pitch at halftime and not to be able to get in, have a change, get into the warmth for 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's horrible, but I suppose it's the way it is. Like, I can understand why Westmeath went and did it, and maybe it was a different story a month ago, 6 weeks ago, but this is an ever-evolving story. We know that, how we're dealing with the pandemic and COVID. So, you know, it's difficult to give a hard opinion one way or another. Like, Kilmacud Crokes were smart. They brought the tent with them. I've seen a number of clubs do that across the summer, even in the good weather. You know, having a bit of shade in a club championship match when it was really hot was really important. So we saw them do that there. Like, I remember being at a club game in Clare a couple of months ago, and one club went to the stand at halftime in the rain, and they went up to a corner of the stand. I don't know whether it was organised beforehand, but they were out of the rain. And the other club stayed on the pitch in the pouring rain, and they ended up winning that game. So I don't know whether that was the right call or not. So, yeah, it's hard to know, Will, what can be said about that, you know?
Yeah, Crokes are well prepared. The thing that I found very strange, I was hosting the radio coverage of the three finals in the Midlands a few weeks ago, and the Offaly and Westmeath final started at the same time, and Tullamore and Road in the Offaly final. It was a horrific day. We're able to go in, get a change of gear, and go in at halftime and stay out. And the game in Mullingar, Gary Castle and St. Lomans, in their drawn game, the first final, they had to just stay out in the rain, and they were soaked through when the game finished, which is very unfortunate indeed. I know a lot of players in Westmeath are unhappy with the situation, and some of the clubs that were visiting, but Kilmacud Crokes had their homework done. The other quarter final was on Saturday night. History for Clough Ballygalla, their first ever win in the Leinster Club Senior Hurling Championship. And here's the commentary from Midlands 103 of Picky Maher's goal, which proved decisive by the end of the game.
Opportunity for Clough Ballygalla in around the square. Goal! Picky Maher with a goal. Ball broke inside, and in was Picky to get the ball and scoop it into the back of the net. First score of the second half. A goal for Clough Ballygalla, and what a boost that is. Picky Maher scooping it in.
Stephen Picky Maher playing in the defence for Laois this year, but back in the forwards for his club, Clough Ballygalla. He captained them this year, Tommy, remarkably, to two county championships in 3 months, because the 2020 championship ended up dragging on into 2021. So they're a team, and there's a few of them around. St. Rinus in the hurling won Offaly the same weekend as them, who actually have a bit of steam behind them going into the club championships because they've won two championships in the 1 year.
Yeah, there's a real bit of momentum there. And another club, Will, and we didn't mention when Brian was on there, Drum and Inch won the Camogie last weekend. So I think that ended up being 17 out of 18 McGrath cousins. I was trying to get it out of Brian. Was it first or second cousins off air? But I think it was all first cousins. 17 out of 18. I think Stephen Gleeson had that tip that we've used, that tweet that we've used a couple of times across Off the Ball this week. But like, that's pretty remarkable. And whenever they get a chance to have a family reunion, there's going to be a bit of crack there.
Yeah, it's incredible. We're going to be talking about brothers, a clip from the football pod in a few moments' time. But I just want to touch as well, Clough Ballygalla have a bit of a decision to make, as I mentioned top of the show, where Willie Dunphy, their forward, is getting married on Friday. And good luck to him and Niamh Guy, the former Meath and Westmeath physio, who are getting married. But they've got their honeymoon booked. Now they've got a semi-final against Kilmacud coming up in a couple of weeks' time. And potentially, if Clough Ballygalla were to turn over Kilmacud in Port Laois, a Leinster final, which would be bang smack in the middle of Willie Dunphy's honeymoon. So I'm not sure how the negotiations are going 48 hours out from the wedding about whether that plan can be moved around with the honeymoon. But Niamh, with a big GA background, might well be willing to move that for her. But just to touch on the fact that the last game from last weekend was the one you were at, which is Ballygunner and Ballyea. Like, Ballygunner, really, really impressive. 3 goals, 20 points scored in November. Ballyea, though, scored only six, had only six shots outside a freeze in the entire game. Very disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. Niall Deasy was naturally chief scorer, but they weren't getting any joy out of anywhere else. They did miss a big goal chance before halftime that was hitting to the side net, and that might have made a bit of a difference. Martin O'Leary came off the bench in the second half, took on a defender early on and took a point for a shot and missed it at the start of the second half. Ballygunner took over then, and by the time O'Leary scored a great goal and Pearce had just scored a point, but they were the only two other scorers apart from Niall Deasy for Ballyea. Tony Kelly's loss was massive, monumental. And speaking to him after the game, you got the sense that they hadn't faced anything like Ballygunner yet this year. So whether that tells a tale of the strength of the Clare Club Championship versus the strength of the Waterford Club Championship, I don't know. But Ballyea obviously did really well to win only their third ever title, Clare Hurling title, against Aina Kilimona a couple of weeks ago. So Maybe that took a lot out of them. And Ballygunner were really, really impressive. Couldn't get over how ready they were to go. Like, it was hard to get a read on whether it was Ballyea being off it or Ballygunner being really on it. But 8 weeks out of the game, 53 days, Darragh O'Sullivan had them flying. And the four Mahoney brothers, they got Philip back on for his first game since the club semi-final. Must have been 10, 11 weeks ago. Big for him to have to get that in. Pádraig Mahoney had his eye in, kicked, didn't kick anything. But Kevin Mahoney and Mikey Mahoney got man of the match. The two younger Mahoney brothers were really impressive too. So Ballygunner are strong. I know they're second favourites for the hurling All-Ireland this year behind Ballyhale, but they were very, very impressive.
Yeah, we'll talk about Ballyhale. Let's have a look then at the results and the fixtures from the weekend just gone by. So the results we've been talking about, that Tipperary Senior Hurling Championship final replay won by Loughmore Castellini by a single point, 2 goals and 14 points to 2-13 against Thurles Sarsfield. So Tipperary double champions for the second time in Loughmore Castellini's history, 2013 and 2021. St Finbarr's, their 10th Cork Senior Football title, overcoming Clonakilty by 14 points to 13. Stephen Sherlock sending over the winning point there. Also, Conor McCrickard of Down, a noteworthy story from that game, was playing for St Finbarr's as they won the title. Kilmaco Crokes, 5 goals and 19 points, Raharney 15 points in the Leinster Club Senior Hurling Championship quarterfinals. Kilmaco Crokes will now play Clough Ballacolla of Laois in the semi-finals on Saturday week, and that game will be a TV match again. Kilmaco on TV a lot over the next few weeks. Clough Ballacolla overcoming Rapparees of Wexford by 117 to 12 points. Rapparees were playing for just the first time in Leinster in 42 years, and disappointing performance from them. Clough Ballacolla coming out in the end by 117 to 12 points. And as mentioned by Tommy, that Munster Club Senior Hurling Championship quarter final, Ballygunner, no problem the break for them coming into the game, laying down a real marker, winning by 3 goals and 20 points to Ballyhea's 2 goals and 6. And those two Ballyhea goals were quite late in the game as well. Coming up this weekend then, and we'll be talking about Ulster in detail with Cathal O'Kane in a moment. In the Ulster Club Senior Football Championship quarter finals, you've got Dromore of Tyrone up against Derrygonigal Harps of Fermanagh. That game is on Saturday at 1:30. You've got Ramry United of Cavan up against Kilcoo. That is Kilcoo defending their Ulster title, first game back. Of course, no championship in 2020. In the Leinster Club Senior Hurling Championship, first of the quarterfinals, due to be played on Saturday at 2 p.m. It's Mount Leinster Rangers of Carlow up against the reigning Leinster champions and 10-time winners Ballyhale Shamrocks. Munster Club Senior Football quarterfinal also on Saturday. You've got Newcastle West of Limerick, finalists from 1987, up against the Nair of Waterford, who last reached the finals in 2014 and 2016. And we've got a Connacht Club Senior Football semi-final. Knockmore of Mayo, the new champions there, last won Connacht back in 1996 up against Tourla Strand of Sligo. On Sunday, we've got two Ulster Club Football quarterfinals, Craigan of Antrim against Clonairn of Armagh, and you've got Glen of Derry up against Scotstown of Monaghan. And the Leinster Club Senior Football Championship quarterfinals, we'll talk about these with Tommy in a little bit more detail later. Port Arrington against St Lomans, Wolfe Tones up against Kilmaco Crokes. You've got Nave Martin of Louth playing Shamaliers of Wexford, and Naas of Kildare, one of those dual winning clubs this year, against Blessington of Wicklow. We've got a Munster Club Senior Football Championship quarterfinal, Aeroge of Clare against Loughmore Castellini of Tipperary. The Galway Senior Hurling Final is Clarenbridge against St Thomas, and we've got a Kerry Senior Football Final between Dr Crokes and Kieran O'Reilly. So a crazy busy weekend to come. Delighted to say though, we've got Cathal O'Kane now with us to look forward to those games in Ulster. We've got four quarterfinals in all. Cathal, how are you getting on?
Not too bad. Well, yourself?
Yeah, I mean, really good. This is a good weekend of Ulster Club football. Plenty of different stories to come around. And as I mentioned there, as we're going through the fixtures for Kilcoo, this is the start of a defence of an Ulster title that was won 2 years ago because we didn't have a championship last year.
But there's no such thing as a bad weekend of Ulster Club football. It's the best competition going. Kilcoo, yep. Look, they probably haven't been firing in Down, but that wouldn't be unusual. They won the Down title 2 years ago and scraped through by a point that time against Warren Point. They won it in 2017 and scraped through by two against Burn. I've tended to play a bit of their best football in Ulster over the last, well, going back nearly a decade now. Kilcoo have been the dominant force in Down football. And you know, right up until 2019, it looked like the Ulster title might not happen for them. They'd knocked on the door, hammered on the door, and missed out on a few occasions. And then it sort of came along when maybe people weren't expecting it. And then they ended up in an All-Ireland final, which took Cardiff into extra time with a performance that was tactically brilliant. It might not have been great to look at, but it shut down a brilliant, brilliant Cardiff Inn team. And all of a sudden, Kilcoo sort of propelled themselves from would they ever win Ulster to now, people, probably unfairly at the minute. They're not favourites for Ulster. But, you know, I think they have to be in the mix for the All-Ireland club title when you're talking about teams that, that might go that far.
I wonder as well, Cara, when it comes to the All-Ireland club and for any of the teams who are starting out in Ulster or any of the provincials this weekend, whether the fact that they know Cara Finn are already gone before we get to the All-Ireland stage, does that open the door a lot for some of the other clubs, given how like dominant Cara Finn have been in club football over the last 5-6 years?
Oh, it really does. It opens the door massively to everybody, not just in Ulster, but right around the country. There'll be teams looking at and thinking, you know, where is the huge barrier in our way that is going to stop us winning All-Ireland now? Obviously, people will look to Kilmacud, and they, along with Glen, had been the bookies' sort of joint favourites for the All-Ireland. Dublin clubs haven't always backed that up, and I don't think there would be the same fear factor, even though obviously Kilmacud have been a bit for a while and a brilliant outfit, but I don't think there'd be the same fear factor as would be with Cara Finn, given what they've actually achieved over the last 4 or 5 years. So
Have Glen earned that right so far, Carr? Because I haven't seen them live yet, but obviously been following their games closely, and Conor Glass and co.
Quite frankly, probably not. And that's not to say that they won't back it up, but you're asking, have they earned it? I mean, they've only just won their first ever county title not even a month ago. So, you know, it was a big pressure to load on their backs. They could have probably done without the bookies doing that to them. But it was just the manner in which they won the Derry title, and not just the county final win over Sligneil, which was, you know, so convincing against a team that themselves, you know, obviously Cara Finn didn't win Galway last year either. And you know, you were looking at Sligneil. I've watched them through Derry last year, and I felt that Sligneil team, had there been an Ulster and an All-Ireland club last year, Sligneil played probably the best football they'd ever played last year. And, you know, they were probably a wee bit unlucky there was no Ulster club at that stage. And then, obviously, it's come out this year, and Glen have absolutely blown everything. You know, they've won games in Derry by record margins. You know, nobody wins a Derry championship with an average winning margin of what I think is 13 points. You know, nobody does that. And it's just, it has propelled them certainly in the thinking, but equally, Ulster Club is a very different challenge. Football this time of the year is a different challenge, and it's maybe a challenge that, you know, they will find more difficult. Obviously, you know, they were fairly blessed by fairly decent weather through the Derry Championship. The games were played in fairly decent weather and good pitches. If they come out on a bog some afternoon against, you know, whether it's Scotstown on Sunday, whether it's Kilkoo in a couple of weeks' time, and a real horrible winter's afternoon, you know, we'll find out a wee bit more about their readiness for Ulster Club. They have the raw materials. Nobody is doubting that, but it's just they haven't done it yet, and it's very hard to propel them above some of the big names that are sitting there in the Ulster Club Series.
If we can maybe start then on Glen against Scotstown, is the belief there, like the bookmakers have obviously liked what they have seen from Glen so far this year, are we expecting them to come through then?
The bookies obviously are. I think it'll be very close. It's obviously there's the added thing over the last couple of weeks. Yes, there's been a couple of real tragedies in Mahara over the last couple of weeks. You know, a fella, James E. Gribben, who was a really popular fella in the town, died. And then you had the tragedy of Francis Lagan, the school principal in Glenview, in St. Mary's Glenview, who was killed while driving the car. A tree fell in the car on last Friday afternoon. And, you know, Francis particularly, within the club, and would have coached a lot of the fellas at underage, and was not hugely involved in the community. Like, I knew Francis, he was actually the principal of my own primary school after I had left, but I know what he brought to the community there was enormous, and his impact on GA in the community. And, you know, those things hit a community really hard, and it's hard to know how that will affect Glen going into the game this weekend. They'll obviously want to put on a performance, but just the emotion can catch you different ways. There's that element of it. There's also the fact that, you know, Scotstown have been around a long time themselves. They're not an old team by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, I think eight of their starting team were playing in the 2013 county final at Scotstown. They've dominated Monaghan since. They've been unlucky on a few occasions in Ulster and haven't got over the line, would feel that, you know, that there's definitely an Ulster title sitting there for them. If they could just get the mix right. But you know, Scotstown have a lot of the materials for a good run in the Ulster club as well. And you have the fact that St Union's really laid down a template for playing against Glen the last day. You know, they came out really, really defensive, laid everybody behind the ball, put a defender up the centre half forward to mark Kieran McFall, which nobody in Derry had done, which seemed like the thing to do, and it was fairly effective for St Union's. And I think the likes of Scotstown and Kilcoo and even, you know, Derry Gonley on the other side perhaps, and anybody really that's going to come in against Glen will have looked at that St Union's game in a big way and thought, right, well, this is what we have to do. Whether we're good enough at it, this is the way we have to play, otherwise we're going to get cut in bits.
Yeah, because I wonder about Derry Gonley coming into this weekend, because Dromore have come out to Tyrone for the first time now in a decade. The last couple of times that they played in the Ulster club, they went out in the first round. You're playing against a team who've won Fermanagh 6 of the last 7 years, have got a bit of experience of playing at this level. They'll probably fancy their chances that experience could play for a lot on Saturday.
There's no doubt that when you look at that side of the draw, you know, the Ulster club draw is very lopsided in terms of, you know, you would say possibly all the stronger sides on one side, and maybe with the exception of Derry Gonley, the other side of the draw is a lot weaker looking on paper, and it is Derry Gonley to jump off that side of the draw, absolutely, you know, and you know, they've just quietly crept into a position in Ulster club football where they have really got used to it over the last 5 or 6 years. They've got better and better at it as time has gone on. Their last outing in 2019, you know, they beat the Tyrone champions at that time, Trillick, in a penalty shootout. And that Trillick team would have been really, you know, really hotly fancied, far more than this Tremore team would be, inside and outside the county for Ulster. So Derry Gonley, and obviously Derry Gonley played Kilcoo in the Ulster semi-final then in 2019 and, you know, outplayed Kilcoo for a lot of that game and were leading for a lot of that game. And really a wee moment of brilliance from Conor Laverty where he spotted a quick free and set up a goal that just squeezed Kilcoo out of it no more. But yeah, Derry Gonley have come back. They had to wrestle the title off Edirne. They needed extra time in a replay to get through that stage and then went on and won Fermanagh comfortably enough from there. But look, of the four teams on that side of the draw, they're the one that jumps off the page, definitely.
Kilcoo, then, are you expecting them to beat Ramor? Because like, I was doing a bit of research on them in Cavan. Like, in recent years, they've won, I think it's 421s, three minors. A lot of those players have come through at the same time. I just thought that generation, they've won Cavan 2016 and now 2021. Like, it seems on paper a big task to try and overturn Kilcoo this weekend.
It is. It is a big task, and the fact that, you know, Ramor having a pile of exposure to this at this point. But as you say, they'd obviously been a common force in Cavan football, and like Cavan has one of the most, you know, underrated, unpredictable club championships in the country. Just different, not even a different winner every year as such, but a different set of teams.
I think we saw the quality in it last year. The final was shown in was it September or October last year, Crushlaw and Kingscourt. It was unbelievable.
Absolutely. And I think that opened the door a wee bit to people sort of looking at Cavan football. And probably, ironically, this year's championship hasn't been great. You talk to people down there, it hasn't been a vintage Cavan championship at all. But as a spectacle generally and as something that's, you know, hugely competitive, it's probably not far off a par with Tyrone. And, you know, people rave about the Tyrone championship and all the competitiveness and the changeability of that. But Cavan's not a million miles away from that. The problem being that, you know, neither of them really has a particularly good record when they come out into Ulster. Obviously, Cavan Gaels have had a few good stabs at it. But, you know, Cavan clubs generally don't do overly well. Castlerahan had a couple of, you know, near misses in Ulster clubs games. But, you know, at the same time, you wouldn't be looking at Ramor coming out and thinking that they're going to go and beat a seasoned outfit like Kilcoo. You know, they definitely have threats. They're very strong in the full forward line. They have, you know, big Adrian Cole at full forward will cause Kilcoo probably to do a slight bit of reshuffling. I'd say Ryan McAvoy will probably play a fullback and different things. But
the Brady brothers will cause damage as well.
Absolutely, they're shooting the lights out. Sean McAvoy as well. Like they have a fair wee bit of quality around the field, but you know Kilcoo have an awful lot of quality around the field, and have an awful lot of experience of the Ulster Club Series, and you know. Nobody has gone from the team of a couple of years ago. They're, you know, everybody talks about the Brannigans, like, and the Brannigans are still flying. The five of them are there, like, and you know they're going to be very, very hard for any team to beat. And I think also the fact that they maybe haven't fired fully in Down, but they've still won it. I think that actually suits them. I think they've been talked down despite being the reigning Ulster champions. They've been talked down a wee bit. And that sits them down to the ground.
Well, Kilcoo's still the team to beat in Ulster. Tommy, I want to ask you just a bit on the Leinster club fixtures that we've got for this weekend. Because I think, Tommy, watch out for Port Arlington of Laois, back-to-back champions. Again, a team who've won it twice this year. Hammered Port Laois, who are the perennial champions in the final this year, to really kind of show how comfortable their crown is on their head. Because a lot of people said last year they didn't have to beat Port Laois in the final. But here they are now, counter-attacking team. Will have no problem, I think, playing in these conditions, stopping teams from attacking them. They're going to definitely try and put the dead bolt on to John Heslin when he plays for St. Lomans. So watch out for Port Arlington against Lomans. Two former Offaly players on the sideline on both sides, including Declan Kelly, the All-Ireland under-20 winning boss with St. Lomans for that game. And Martin Murphy, who has beaten Port Laois in three county finals in a row with two different clubs, will be in charge of Port Arlington. But I want to ask you about Wolftones, Tommy. How are they going to get on, the Meath champions against Kilmacud? Because Kilmacud now don't have as much of a crossover as Loughmore Castellini with dual players, and they'll genuinely be targeting trying to win both.
100%. And much the way that Cara was saying that teams would have been looking at the template that Union set to take down Glenn, like, there was a lot of interest in eyes looking at that St. Jude's game and the scoreline reading 0-0, 0-0 after 23 minutes. I'm not sure Wolftones will play that defensive. They do have quite a defensive style. Their manager is actually from down the road from here, Micheál McDermott. He's a former Clare manager, a Cavan native, who's from Bearfield up in Virginia as well. He actually coached Rammer to that county title back in 2016 too. So he's running the show for Wolftones this year. Keane Ward's positioning would be very, very interesting. He plays quite a deep withdrawn role. Saran O'Finnegan up front, keep an eye on that fella. He's flying inside with Thomas O'Reilly. So, like, Wolftones are a really interesting club, Will. They were junior back in 2002. They won junior, intermediate, senior on the spin with a Mayo man, Tony Kearney, at the helm back then in 2003 to 2005. Went up to senior, and they've been a really impressive club ever since. They're just outside Navan. Keane Ward has got his two young brothers around him now at this stage as well. They're both having an impact too. So, look, Kilmacud, they're going to be gunning for Leinster. They let it slip a couple of years ago against Mullinocta, but it's going to be an interesting game against Wolftones.
And you've got the football pot out for this week, Tommy. What's on this week's show?
Yes, the great Paddy Cunningham joined us this week, and I know that Cahir's colleague Brendan Crossan had a brilliant piece from him in the Irish News during the week as well. So we actually get stuck into some of that. Mark Lynch spoke to Brendan about Paddy Cunningham. So we talk about Mark Lynch, Andy Moran and Paddy Cunningham, the full forward line for Jordanstown back in 2008, the Sigerson final, where Paddy Cunningham scored 1-9. So a lot of talk about Paddy and his Predators, Predator Manias, and the untapped potential of GAA in Belfast. So that's what Paddy Andrews and Andy Moran. We also look at the 2022 championship draw, and we talk about brothers in the GAA and the clusters of brothers. And I made the point that you need to have more than two brothers on a team to actually be able to do anything. So we talk about the great clusters of brothers as well.
Progressive, that is available currently on the OTB Sports app. If you want to listen to the podcast, it's also going to be up on Off the Ball's YouTube. If you want to get in touch with the show, particularly we'd like to hear about any great performances from this coming weekend, any particular interesting stories from your club all the way down through the AIB Club Championships, get in contact. You can tweet us at Off the Ball or leave a comment on Off the Ball's YouTube channel. We'll be back next Wednesday for edition 2 of the Club Championship podcast here, with thanks to AIB on Off the Ball.
The Club Championship Show on OTB Sports in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. #TheToughest